But symbolism only has value if we take the time to review the symbols and what they represent. So today, what I'd like to do is take a closer look at some of the characteristics of leavening, the symbol that God uses as a key element in understanding the meaning of the days of unleavened bread. And the holy days obviously picture an important plan for mankind. And he guides us through our walk through life, allowing us, using his plan to help us to grow and overcome sin and become more like God-like each and every day. So let's take some time today and understand the characteristics of leavening and see if we can use that symbolism to help us throughout this upcoming week to understand and just remember what these days picture. The first symbol the first characteristic of leavening, I think, is very common, is that one of the characteristics of leavening is that it spreads throughout the dough very quickly. That's why leavening is effective, because it evenly distributes through the entire mass of the dough. Just as sin spreads quickly throughout a community of people. If you would, I'll turn to a scripture here that I think everyone is very familiar with. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we'll read the first few verses. And it says, 1 Corinthians 5, starting in verse 1, it says, "It is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, as though I were present, him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus." What he's saying is, don't let the sinner be among you. Don't take that sin into the congregation, into the body of Christ. He says, "Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." So he was saying that the principle of that leavening, if you allow that sin to be among you, to be with you, it will spread very much like leavening will throughout the dough. So, and Paul wrote this during the days of unleavened bread. So they had put the physical leavening out, but they hadn't seen the important spiritual principle. They were allowing that to take place in their midst. The second characteristic is leavened products are of a softer texture, and therefore they're easier to eat, they're more savory than unleavened bread. And they're more common, they're more readily available. And very much so, that is the way that, you know, sin is that pleasant. It's more pleasure. It looks pleasurable. Certainly, it's more abundant. It's more prevalent than it is to be righteous and to be following God's law. If you would, turn with me to Matthew 7, and we'll start in verse 13. In Matthew chapter 7, we'll read verses 13 and 14. It says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." So the principle is that when you think and you go looking this week for the unleavened bread, you'll see that the leavened bread products are much easier, much more prevalent, and they're much easier to find, much as it's much more difficult to lead a spiritual godly life than it is to lead a life, you know, allow yourself to sin. So the third point I think we can use to look at the symbols of leavening is that leavened bread left out soon becomes hard and moldy. Much like the pleasures of sin are just temporary. They will quickly pass, and then the heartache and the sorrow is left. Let's look at Job in chapter 20. Job chapter 20, and we'll read verses 12 through 14. And it says, though evil is sweet in his mouth, and he hides it under his tongue, though he spares it and does not forsake it, but still keeps it in his mouth, yet his food in his stomach turns sour, it becomes cobra venom within him. So sin can be enticing, it can be exciting for the moment. You know, just like it says, though evil is sweet in the mouth. But what we see here is that the pleasures of sin soon pass away. And like I said, that's when the sorrow and the heartache sets in. You know, in Romans 6 and verse 23, we won't turn there. It says that we're told that the end results of sin is eternal death unless we repent and seek forgiveness from God. But just as the soft leavened bread is delightful to consume, we can use this principle to remember that the fleeting pleasures of sin, and you know, we need to recommit out following God's way of life. Because what it says is that it said, you know, we see here where it's just for the temporary. The pleasures are only for a temporary moment. One of the other, obviously, characteristics of leavening that is one of the reasons we use leaven in our in dough products is that leavening puffs up the dough. It makes it light. It makes it fluffy. You know, just as sin causes one to exalt themselves. You know, the opposite of being exalting yourself is being humble. So that principle is something that we can use. So if you would just turn to Psalms chapter 10, and we'll read verses 3 and 4 to look at that. In Psalms 10, verses 3 and 4, it says, so the wicked boasts of his heart's desire, he blesses the greedy, and renounces the Lord. The wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. So if we exalt ourselves or allow ourselves to think highly of oneself, it detracts. We don't seek God anymore. It's the humble attitude. So as we eat the unleavened bread, let's be mindful of the fact that we need to be humble and to let that humility lead us to seek God and allow him to guide us and direct our actions and thoughts. So as we go through the week, you know, as we eat of that unleavened bread, you know, don't just eat it as a replacement for bread, but take the time to think that this is not puffed up. This represents humility in having that attitude. And the last attribute of leavening that I'd like to look at is that leavening represents a connection with the past. And you go, what do you mean by that? Well, if you in the ancient days, leavening was often was used as a starter. And I remember my mother used to make sourdough bread every now and then, and she would bring out what she would call, she had a mason jar in the refrigerator, and she would bring it out, she'd let it set out, and then she would mix that in with the new dough, and so there was a connection. And if you were to keep that for a period of time, you would have that connection, and really, that is I'm talking of that connection that goes from taking that, the leavening in this lump, and you move that, and it's kind of like sin. You know, once you have sin, there's a connection to the next activity, to the next sinful act. So let's go back now and look in 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 8, and maybe we can get an understanding of what they were talking about when he talks about that aspect of it, and maybe just look and see where it's talking about that connection with the leavening. And it says, and again, this is Paul speaking, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 8, it says, therefore let us keep the feast, not with the old leaven. Maybe it's the old leavening, it might be referring to that starter that you always use to carry forward. He said, not with the old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. If you think about unleavened bread, it's very simple. You can basically make it with, you know, flour, water. You want to put a little salt in there for flavoring. But there is no connection. You don't need anything else to make that unleavened bread. So we can use the symbolism of making a clean break from the past and starting anew. When we partake of the bread and the wine during the Passover service, we're accepting the sacrifice that Christ died for our sins. They were wiped clean. And we're all sinners, but we're also to recommit ourselves at this time of the year to living a life of sincerity and truth, which is symbolized by that unleavened bread. So, brethren, as we go through this week of unleavened bread, just look at the leavening as simply yeast or baking powder, but let's remember the characteristics of leavening and how this symbolizes sin and this effect it has on us and on the world in general. And let's not keep the days of unleavened bread with malice and wickedness, but rather make a recommitment to living a life of sincerity and truth.